you remember the actress Lily Tomlin, who was really popular years ago? She said not too long ago, I always wanted to be somebody. I should have been more specific. I love that. My kids are in their 20s, and a lot of their friends are that way. I want to be somebody. I want to do something. What? They have no clue. Vague thoughts cannot motivate specific behavior.
That's Tom Morris, and this is the Depression Detox Show. Welcome back to the Depression Detox Show, where we share ideas and stories to help you live a happier life. I am your host, Malik Josephs. Happy Monday. Thank you so much for joining me today as we have Tom Morris returning to the show. And today he is going to share his two most important pieces of advice on goal setting. Here's Tom Morris. Enjoy.
Is there a universal framework for success? And I'll tell y'all something. I read more books than I've ever read. Hundreds of books, thousands of essays. I was shocked to discover there are only 7 utterly universal conditions for success. I brought everybody a little gift this morning. I put it on your table while you're at lunch. A laminated wallet card. On one side of the card are these 7 conditions for success that are going to structure our time together this afternoon. The first one comes to us from Aristotle. Aristotle used archery terminology. The Greek word was telos. It meant bullseye. Aristotle said, in anything we do, any challenge we have, any opportunity we face, we need first and foremost a clear conception of what we want. We need a vivid vision, a goal clearly imagined. Aristotle understood in times of change how confusing things can be, how difficult it can be to focus our thinking. And, you know, you remember the actress Lily Tomlin, who was really popular years ago? She said not too long ago, I always wanted to be somebody. I should have been more specific. I love that. My kids are in their 20s, and a lot of their friends are that way. I want to be somebody. I want to do something. What? They have no clue. Vague thoughts cannot motivate specific behavior. One of my favorite first century philosophers, Seneca, a Roman, said once, no wind blows fair for a ship that has no port. I've always loved that. Think about that for a second. No wind blows fair for a ship that has no port. If we don't know where we're going, we can't take advantage of the things that cross our paths along the way. So Seneca, following Aristotle, said, set clear goals at every stage of your adventure, in every dimension of your life. And don't just let them be intellectual. Make them a vision. The book of Proverbs says, without a vision, people perish. Einstein once said, imagination is more important than knowledge. One of the biggest mistakes in the business world today is that we set our goals with the intellect, but not with the imagination. We got to root our goals in the fertile soil of the imagination to really draw on the deepest powers we have. I want to say something more about that in just a minute, but first I want to comment on this because a couple of us were talking during lunch about great writers on topics of success and leadership. A lot of motivational speakers for about 100 years now have been saying how important it is for us to set goals, almost as if it doesn't matter what our goals are, as long as we have some. The philosophers thought it mattered deeply what our goals are. So I decided to bring y'all today the greatest piece of advice ever given for powerful goal setting. It was first said by Thales, then by Socrates, then by Plato, then by Aristotle. It was so important, it was inscribed in marble on the holiest spot in ancient Greece, the Oracle at Delphi. The Greek philosopher said, it doesn't matter what you face. It doesn't matter what you hope for. It doesn't matter what the challenge is that may confront you right now. Job one is always the same. Know thyself. Know thyself. Self-knowledge is the source for powerful goal setting. So many, you wouldn't believe how many presidents of companies come to me on a regular basis saying something like, Tom, I don't know what's going on. We're reading the best practices literature, books like Built to Last and Good to Great and In Search of Excellence and The Discipline of Market Leaders and Execution. And they go through all these titles and say, we trans planted some of those ideas into our company and they didn't work. They transplanted, they didn't translate. They didn't filter through the grid of self-knowledge. Who are we? What is our strength? What is our position? Sometimes, you know, great business books report on what's widely done. Sometimes the most powerful thing you can do is not what's widely done by others, by your competitors, for example, but what's right for you. What can make you distinctive? What can make you different? And you're not going to know that unless you know yourself on an individual level, on an organizational level. Individual level, what do I love? What do I not like so much? What are my talents? What can I bring to this position? How can I take some initiative now? There's nothing more powerful than a team of people, all of whom are taking initiative based on their own understanding and knowledge and talents. It's incredible. Every exercise in goal setting should be an exercise in self-knowledge. Well, I decided if I brought you all that, I'd go ahead and bring you the second greatest piece of advice for powerful goal setting, but the second most important probably, but maybe more important now than it was in the ancient world. Not as widely understood as the importance of knowing yourself, but in times of change, I know Charlie talked a little bit this morning about, you know, using the image of a mountain. The philosopher said, do not allow what is very good to keep you from what is best. And the best illustration of what they had in mind is exactly that. The hills of Georgia here. I mean, imagine you're out in the woods on a hike, and let's say you've set it as your goal to get the highest point in the area. And so you and the group are going to get to the highest point in the area. You're the leader. From where you stand, Hill A is the highest point you can see, whether it's fog, whether it's perspective, whatever. You climb Hill A. You slip and you fall and you struggle, and finally you get up to the summit from which vantage point you can now see for the first time the much higher Hill B. Now, let me ask y'all a question. What's the first thing you're going to have to do? You're standing perched atop Hill A. What's the first thing you're going to have to do to get to Hill B? Anybody? Go downhill. And when you as leader suggest this, what's everybody going to say? This is almost universal. What do you mean we got to go downhill? It took us a long time to get up here. This is very good. We can see a lot from Hill A. There's so many businesses, so many companies, so many divisions of businesses, so many families, so many individuals stuck on top of Hill A because nobody wants to go downhill. What does that metaphorically represent? Changing what you've most recently been doing, getting outside your comfort zone, adjusting to new realities that might be a little awkward feeling, that might be a little uncertain. But you know what? And as you go down Hill A, look at this. This is kind of interesting too. If your goal is to get to the highest point in the area and you're going down from Hill A, it looks like initially that you're going in the opposite direction from your true goal, right? You're getting lower in order to get higher. A hospital president once told me they switched computer systems. He said, I've never heard people complain so much in my whole life. And he said, I had to keep saying, look, we're going to have a downhill period for about 6 weeks, and you're going to be learning a lot of new stuff. A lot of stuff's going to be uncomfortable, but you're going to have power to do stuff you've never even dreamed of doing before. And he said, a month or two later, people were coming to him and saying, man, you were right. We just had to hang in there during that discomfort phase. And wow, this is just, we did the right thing in making this changeover. People want to stay on Hill A. Tom Peters did a study of why very successful companies, namely the ones he profiled in his book, his famous book In Search of Excellence, why companies fail. Why great companies fail. And basically, he didn't put it like this, but his answer, once he did a ton of research, was everybody's stuck on Hill A and nobody wants to go downhill. Basically, we get comfortable with the first great success we've had. Don't let what's very good keep you from what is best. Be bold. Set new goals. One of the biggest mistakes on the part of highly successful people is that they stop setting stretch goals. They just enjoy Hill A.
Big thanks to Tom Morris for stopping by. His website is tomvmorris.com. That is also his Instagram. His latest book is entitled Plato's Lemonade Stand, Stirring Change into Something Great. And if you'd like to watch the entire talk, you can head over to YouTube and type in Tom Morris, public philosopher, corporate advisor, best-selling author, keynote speaker. And if you'd like to hear more talks with Tom, you can go to our show description to check out the last three times that he's been featured on the show. And in there will also be links to connect with him and his work as well. All right. Don't forget to follow the show, share it, or leave a rating and review on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify Podcasts. I greatly, greatly appreciate you. And also thank you for those who have left a positive message on Spotify. I do read all the comments, so thank you for that. And lastly, before you go, follow me on Instagram at Depression Detox Show to see 1 minute inspirational reels of all your favorite speakers. I'm just about approaching 10,000 followers. So thank you guys so much. I appreciate you checking out the page. And that is a wrap for me. I appreciate you. I hope you have a great rest of your day, and I will see you back here tomorrow. So until then, stay strong. Later.